Well, God bless you, each one. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who rose from the dead. You know, I've tried to picture that. I've tried to picture Jesus in the tomb. And I've tried to just picture how that happened. And I thought, did he blink his eyes and roll over and sit up? I don't think so. I don't picture it being a commandment from the Lord, from God, his Father, commanding him to rise, and he obeyed. I don't picture God, his Father, as it were, reaching out his hand and touching him, and he came to life. Really don't know how it happened, but we know this. The Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead by the glory of his Father. We have a glorious Father, like we heard about last night, our Father. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. And so we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. May the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in us also this morning as we gather in his name. And as we consider for just a little while God's heart for us, that we would produce a godly seed in our children. We have a tremendous burden for our homes. I believe I would like to start this morning just reading a passage of Scripture, just a verse, just part of a verse, really, that reveals God's heart for our children. It's in Malachi Chapter 2. I would encourage us to turn there. Malachi chapter 2, the context here is that God is speaking to his people through Malachi. And Malachi is speaking to the men. He is speaking to men who have come forward to the altar with tears and weeping and crying out. The scripture says that they covered the altar with tears and weeping and crying out. I've tried to picture that too. That's quite a scene. But Malachi speaks a very sobering message to these men. He says to them, God is not going to accept your sacrifice or your offering or you anymore. And these men say, why not? And Malachi tells them, it's because you have dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth. That's what he told them. That's the reason that he gave. In other words, you haven't honored the institution of marriage as God ordained it to be. You have not connected with the heart of your wife. And then God asks them a question. Malachi says to these men, why do you think God established marriage? Why did God bring a young man and a young woman together, and that two should become one? Why did he do that? And I want to read that. Chapter 2, look at verse 15. Even partway down in the verse it says, and wherefore one? Why did God do that? It's that he might seek a godly seed. You see, there's more to marriage than just bringing some fulfillment to a young man and to a young woman. There's more to marriage than just building a companionship and relationship between two people. If you look into the heart of God, it's that he might seek a godly seed in our children. Now, I want us to notice something here. This is somewhat of a technicality, somewhat of a detail. But I believe it is very, very sacred. You notice that it does not say here that they would of themselves produce a godly seed. You see, we of ourselves cannot produce godliness and holiness in our children. We cannot save them. We cannot bring salvation to them. That is of the Lord. salvation is of the Lord. Amen? But we have our calling and our obligation, brothers and sisters, from the Lord. And it is to prepare the hearts. To prepare the hearts that they would be fertile soil. To establish character. To lay the foundation in our children. So that when the Spirit of God begins to move. And begins to stir in our children. So that they respond. So that they receive Him. And our part is so crucial. But it is God that makes them holy, that He might seek a godly seed. It's a sacred pattern, but it is of God. And it's that way so that the glory may be of God and not of us. It's so that when we've done all that we can do, we're just unprofitable servants. We've only done that which is our duty to do. But brothers and sisters, it is our duty. And it is from God. It is our responsibility from God. And if our children, every one of them, if our children do not respond when God begins to stir in their life, it's because we have not done our part that God gave us to do, to lay the foundation for Him to come. That is a pattern that you see in Scripture. I would appreciate it if I could have a glass of water. If someone could see to that, I would be thankful. It is a pattern in Scripture for God to use men, fallible men, to send them before Him to prepare hearts for Him. Even when Jesus came to the earth, John the Baptist, his calling and his mission, what was it? It was to prepare the way before Him. You know, and we could say, well, why do I need to do that? John the Baptist could have said, hey, if He's coming anyway, what is there need for me to do? Let Him do it. He's the Son of God. But no, it's a pattern in Scripture where God uses men. Thank you, brother. And if you remember when Jesus sent out the 70, He sent them out two by two. I think it's Luke chapter 10, verse 1. It says that Jesus sent them into every town and place whither He Himself would come. Why did He do that? You know, they could have said, hey, if He's coming here anyway, what's the point for us to go? But no, this is a sacred thing with God. God uses men to prepare hearts before Him. And I want you to notice, when God sends men before Him to prepare hearts before Him, He gives them power and authority. He did it to John the Baptist. He did it to the 70. Those He sends before Him, He gives them power and He gives them authority. And it's from the Lord. And parents here today, that's how it is with us. We are sent by God to prepare the hearts of our children before Him so that God can seek a godly seed. And children and youth that are here this morning, there's something here that is very valuable for you to consider. Basically, the people who did not receive the men that God sent, the people that did not receive John the Baptist didn't receive Christ either when He came. Sobering truth. Most people who rejected the 70 who were sent out rejected Jesus also when He came. And I'm just going to say to the youth here today that if you reject the ones that God has sent to you to prepare your heart, you may not receive Christ either when He comes. and stirs in your heart. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26 says something like this, if I can get it. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. It is not a son that receives Christ. Sobering meditation for the youth. But parents, God is faithful. He will seek a godly seed in every one of our children. He will not pass one by when we do our part. And if our children don't receive him when he comes, then we have not done our job. And so I just want to challenge us this morning, fathers, mothers, are we doing our job? We have been sent by God. We have been given power and authority. Are we being faithful? Do we accept that responsibility? And I know there's situations, there's adoption, there's special needs children. There are situations like this. May God have mercy. But I want us to consider this morning, brothers and sisters, the power and the authority that God has given to us, that God has entrusted to us to prepare the hearts of our children for him to seek a godly seed. I'm going to say here that I'm going to be using the phrase that we need to produce a godly seed. I'm going to be using that phrase some throughout the messages here. But I just want to clarify again what I mean by that is that we are preparing for fertile soil the hearts of our children for God to seek a godly seed for himself. And I want to speak an encouraging word here. I want this to be encouraging this morning. I want to increase our burden, but I want to be an encouragement to us. I believe this is an area where God answers prayer. This is an area where God moves in our behalf. God has sent us on a mission. We are sent by God. He has given us power and authority. I tell you, everything you pray about isn't in that category. God is faithful. He's behind us. But I don't believe God answers prayer if all we do is pray. Pray and wish and hope for the best. Much disaster comes out of that combination, of that formula. But when we rise up, when we take our place, when we're doers, when we're seekers, when we're pursuers, when we're repenters in prayer, I tell you, God moves in this area of our homes. I want to say that producing a godly seed, laying a foundation for God to move, is not for lazy people. It's not for people that are too busy. You'll never get it done. It's not for men, brothers, who come home too tired to move. Think about it. It's not for people that don't like homework. This thing is full of homework. I'd like to give you some today. Producing a godly seed is a full-time job with homework and prayer. And I just want you to know today, there is no other formula. You won't get it done any other way. And it's our calling. And I want to challenge you today. Is it your priority? When God sends a man, that sending should be his priority. Do we accept the responsibility? I want to increase our burden today to be faithful to our God in that sending. I want to increase the burden because I believe that a man with a burden gets more done than a man with knowledge. Someone who's read all the books. You compare him to a man with a burden. And the man with a burden gets it done. We want to raise our burden today. But I also want to raise our knowledge. Because when you have a man with a burden, and he also has knowledge, and God is behind him, and God has sent him, that's a powerful formula. And that's where we are. May God show himself strong in our behalf. May that be us. Well, when we have a job to do, sometimes it's good to reduce it down so that we can see what needs to be done. Kind of like Brother Mark was talking about with math and homeschooling. What needs to be done to prepare the hearts of our children for God to come? I'd like to break this thing down into three things that we need to do. I'm just going to write them up here. We need, and you know what these are, but we need to win their heart. We have been sent to do this. The second thing we need to do, we need to break what? Their will. We need to win their heart and break their will. And the third thing that we need to do is we need to admonish them, nurture them. I'll just say nurture them. In the admonition of the Lord. I don't want to oversimplify. I'm just going to keep it to these three things. I don't think I've oversimplified this because we all know these are three very big things. And they need to happen in every one of our children. God is faithful. He will not pass by one of our children. And we can't either. Every heart needs to be prepared. We have been sent by God. In winning their heart, we need to learn how to communicate with them. Not only communicate, but we need to lay the foundation to connect with their heart. I mean, it's their heart that we're going for. And it includes understanding and love. In breaking their will, this includes discipline. This includes watching them so we know what is in their heart. This includes discernment. It includes teaching. It includes spankings that we can read in Proverbs. And again, it includes understanding and love. And nurturing them in the admonition of the Lord. This is like Brother Mark was speaking in homeschooling. We want to bring the Lord into everything that we do all day long. Teaching them Bible stories, reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, giving them the example of our own life upon them. This also includes protecting them from the influences of this world around us. It includes that. It includes some guidelines. It includes restraint. It includes giving them some direction. And it includes giving them some exposure in the kingdom of God. And I just want to tell you this morning, when these three things are in place, when you have the heart of your child, when their will is broken, when in brokenness they have been nurtured in the admonition of the Lord, I tell you, it's a perfect foundation for God to move. God begins to stir in that heart, and it's the most natural thing there ever was to receive him and to follow his leading. And then the glory is all of God, and God is faithful. He will move. He will seek a godly seed in every child. but it's a big job, and it takes time. And if it's not a priority, it'll get put on the back burner because of other things. It happens all the time, and our children pay the price. And I want us to know this morning that producing a godly seed is, it's a big job. It's not just a one-time thing that you can do sometime, somewhere, and then, you know, you produce a godly seed. No, it's a many-faceted, big picture of many things all day long with discernment every day. You can't just take a child when they're young and set them on a blanket, and, you know, if they cross over the edge of that blanket and they trespass, so you discipline them, and now you produce the godly seed. No, it's bigger than that. You can't just use a rod like the Bible talks about using the rod. It's a round thing and it's a certain length, and you use that instead of a spanking stick and then you produce a godly seed. No! It's bigger than that. You can't just put your children in a good church and then you've produced a godly seed. No! It's bigger than that. You can't just give them some godly standard of courtship when they court and then you've produced the godly seed. No, it is bigger than that. You can't give them some standard of modesty that's unquestionably modest and lay that standard upon them and then you produce a godly seed. No, it's bigger than that. You can't even just get born again yourself and then you produce a godly seed. No, it's bigger than that. You can't just wait on them to get born again and then you produce the godly seed. No, it's bigger than that. Much bigger. And all of those things are good. Some of them are very good. Some of them are crucial. But it's the big picture of many, many things. That's why we say preparing the hearts of our children is not for lazy people. It's a full-time job with homework. And we, to lay this foundation for God to come, we must have the hearts of our children. That's going to be our focus today. That's going to be our subject today. To communicate with our children at a heart level. Proverbs 23:26 says, "My son, give me thine heart." It's just a plea. It's a beautiful plea. And it's from a godly father because it says, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." It just sounds like this plea is coming from a faithful father. And I'm going to be speaking to faithful fathers and mothers here today. That's who I'm talking about too. This is not really an evangelistic message. The unsaved and the unsanctified cannot produce a godly seed. You can't produce something that you are not. We reproduce. You can't give your children something that you do not have, and we must have the hearts of our children. And we know that most children, most youth, don't just give their heart to their father. Doesn't happen automatically. It must be won. I want to make a little point of that. We need to win their hearts. Do you know what win means? Win means that there's some competition here. It means someone else is trying to win their heart also. There are other things, other people, other influences competing for your child's heart. But you won. That's what win means. You got it. You got the prize. That's our goal. But often, brothers and sisters, the one who wins is the one who puts forth the most effort and the most diligence. It just is. And so, fathers, I just want to challenge you. How much effort are you putting forth to win the heart of your child? Effort means time. Effort means energy. Effort means you're putting some thought into this thing. So fathers, how much time, how much energy, how much thought, how much priority are you putting in this thing to win the heart of your child? Or are you just hoping that you have it? You're in a good church, and so you're just hoping you've got your child's heart. If that's where you are this morning, I want to tell you, you either don't have your child's heart, or if you do, you won't have it for long. Because there are too many other influences pressing in on your child's heart. What kind of relationship do you really have with your children? What will 5 or 10 years reveal about the relationship that you have today? How much do you talk to them about everything? How much do you communicate with them? I want to think about communication for a little bit. This is going to be a very practical message, but I believe it's such a crucial part of winning the heart of our children. We need to know how to communicate with our children. We need to know everything about them. They need to know everything about us. That's part of communication too. They need to know what we believe. They need to know how strong we believe it. They need to know where we're coming from. And so don't communicate just surface deep, you know, like giving a few commands if you see a need in their life. Hey, you better not do that. Don't stay in touch that way. Not just surface communication, but having a relationship with them. That's what communication does. It forms a relationship. My wife, she tells me, she says, you know, if you're going to lead me as my husband in wisdom and understanding so that I can trust you, then you have to know everything about me. You have to know my deepest feelings. You need to know my desires. You need to know what moves me. You need to know what hurts I'm dealing with in my heart. You need to know what my fears are. She has told me, I need to know that you understand me, that you've heard me, and that you've spent time on me, and that you've taken me before God to get direction. I need that. And brothers and sisters, our children need that. We need to know everything about them if we are going to prepare their hearts. We need to know their deepest feelings. We need to know their desires. We need to know what moves them. We need to know what thoughts they're thinking. We need to know what hurts are down in their heart. We need to know the fears they have. We need to know the joys that they have. They need to know that we understand them. They need to know that we have heard them and spent time on them. They also need to know that we have taken them before God to get direction for them. They need that. And that takes time. That takes a listening ear. That takes an understanding heart. That takes more than we think of as being authority sometimes. But I tell you, that's a pretty good definition of authority. Let your authority take you in that direction. That's what communication is. It takes time to win the heart of our children. I've heard it said before that the best thing you can spend on your children is time. If we're going to have the hearts of our children, we have to schedule some quality time with them. You know, just giving them our spare time or what's left over isn't a priority. It's just what's left over. And it's not what gets the job done. We need to raise this priority level and schedule some sacrificial time with our children to communicate deeply with them, not just surface communication. That's what it means to have someone's heart. It's not a surface thing. To have someone's heart is not a shallow thing. It's not having a few quick words of admonition when the need arises. I tell you, the heart of a child is not at the surface. It's way down in there, and it's big, and it's full of thoughts and emotions and feelings, and that's where we need to go to communicate. And when you get there, well, you've got their heart. That's the goal that we need to have. Schedule some quality time to communicate. Schedule some sacrificial time with your children. Take note of that. Now, it's more than just scheduling a little time to sit down and talk. Communication needs a foundation to build on. You need to lay a foundation so the children will communicate. Here's why. People don't just start talking because you want them to. They don't just open up and start talking and tell you about what's down in their heart. They're going to protect that thing. That thing has to be drawn out of their heart carefully. Access to private property needs to be earned, right? You can't just drive up to property, private property, and go in. You've got to know someone. You've got to get permission. It's the same with our children's hearts. In fact, I want you to know that a child's heart is private property. And it is guarded. And if you try to come in without permission, up goes the no trespassing sign. We've all seen it happen in our homes. And so we need to win the hearts of our children. People open up, wives, children, husbands, everyone. People open up when they feel it's safe. People open up when they feel connected to you. People open up when they feel cared for and loved. And you know, that's one gift we all have. We tend to know when we're loved and cared for. And our children know very well. People open up when they feel like they are going to be understood. And to lay that foundation takes time. So a foundation has to be laid to communicate. Take note of that. Schedule an enjoyable activity just to be together and have a good time. This can help. You know, I may never forget this. I talked to a youth one time as a young man. And he had been at Bible school all week. And they had been in classes for several days. And they had been at the evening services. And they were there together in prayer groups. And then the last day came and they went to the mountains. They went to the mountains and they had a hike in the mountains. And this is what that youth told me. He said something like this. He said, you know, in the prayer groups, I was under so much pressure to open up. In the classes, I felt so much pressure to repent and confess, and I just couldn't open up. But when we went to the mountains, when we walked beside the river together, when we looked at the mountain together, when we sat in the shade under the trees together, this is what he said. All of a sudden, I felt like talking. I needed someone to talk to. What am I saying through all of this? Nothing against prayer groups and Bible school, I guarantee you. I'm a promoter. But what I am saying is that a foundation has to be laid to communicate. And the foundation is not pressure. We're dealing with people. It's building a relationship. Parents, here's a few little suggestions, and I hope that you will do this. I'm going to give it to you as homework. It'll be a blessing. Go home and just do your child a favor. Just do him a favor. Out of the blue, for no reason. And then write them a note of appreciation. Let them know how you feel. And then show interest in something that they have done. Take some sacrificial time to stop and look at it. Ask some questions about it. Study it a little bit. And then sit down and plan a little enjoyable activity together. Maybe even let them plan it. You know, what would you like to do? Okay? And then just let them plan it. But you make it happen. Do a project with them together. Something maybe that they've dropped hints about for quite a while and you've never had time to do it. You've heard the hints, but what that hint is saying is that your child would like to do something with you. Take some sacrificial time to make it happen. And then think on them. You know, I've been blessed many times when I've read a couple of scriptures that talk about how much God thinks about us. His thoughts are like the sands of the sea, Psalm 139 says, towards me. Think on your child. That's a special thing. It does something in their heart. Remember something about them from a couple of years ago, and then mention it at the supper table. Make them feel special. Smile at them. You know them. Speak their love language. You know, I was thinking as I was going through this, I hope you're not feeling like we're not being spiritual this morning because we're not flipping the pages of our Bible and going to scripture and verses. I want you to know this morning, we are being very spiritual. It's called practical Christianity. It's called winning the heart of your child. It's called doing your homework. This is the translation that we need to get out of the scriptures. We can't just read over this thing to win the heart of our child and then nothing happens in a sacrificial way when we have been sent by God to make it a priority in our life with our children. So when you've laid the foundation to communicate, when you've got that foundation laid, then just keep right on laying it. Just keep right on. I mean, we're not just trying to win our child's heart, we're also trying to keep it. Our homes need to be an inviting place, a refreshing place where our children love to be, where they love to come home to be with us. May our homes not be a place where our children come home and sit down at the computer and get on the internet and log on to their Facebook and send all their communication out there. We need to communicate with them. It's us that needs to win their heart. Our homes need to be a place where we learn how to enjoy each other, where we learn how to trust each other, and where we have learned how to communicate at a deep level, at a fulfilling level. I want you to know that when children, when youth grow up, and they've just got to have their Facebook, and they've just got to have their texting, or they've just got to have a youth group or they will die. I mean, we hear these phrases, but I just want you to know that is usually because there's a void in their heart and they have not received the fulfillment at home that God sent you to fulfill. So lay a foundation for a fulfilling communication. I'm going to give you some ideas here. I'm going to give you some just little ideas. These are just little things. But, you know, that's what makes up the whole picture, isn't it? The bigger picture is just made up of little things. I've heard there's no such thing as a big shot, because a big shot is just a little shot that kept shooting. And so I'm just going to give you some little things to do and then just keep shooting. And we're going for their heart. It's their heart that we're going for. Number one, I've got a half a dozen here so that I'm going to mention. In your home, in the car, driving together, Don't have music playing all the time. Music is good. We love music. Good music sets a good atmosphere. But sometimes, shut it off. When someone else is singing to your children, it's not you that's communicating with them. We need to communicate. Turn the music off and visit. When someone has to have their music playing all the time, again, there's another sign of a void, of a fear, of an unfulfilled heart, and they're trying to fill it up somehow. And it's usually because they need someone to communicate with them. They need someone to draw them out. They have hidden fears. They have hidden hurts that are just waiting to be drawn out when the foundation for communication is laid. Number two, Dad, don't do all the talking at devotions. You know, sometimes men who talk all the time are not necessarily good communicators. Did you know that? Don't do all the talking at devotions. Use that time to ask questions and let them speak. If you've read a passage of Scripture, ask them, what verse did you like? What verse stood out to you? And then listen very, very closely. This is a discerning father. Part of their heart is going to come out in the verse they choose and why they chose it. I want to tell you something. Your children will get more out of what you say if you get more out of what they say. Make what they say special. Devotions is a wonderful time for communication. I mean, you're in the Word of God together. It doesn't get any better than that. Communicate to the children how precious this is and how practical this is. Always make practical applications. Always ask questions, lots of them. Generate all the conversation you can. I want you to know something. Private devotions don't do that. And I'm not against private devotions. They are a good thing, and we encourage it. But don't let private devotions replace communicating as a family in the Word of God. That is a crucial blessing in connecting with the heart of your child. It's a golden opportunity to plant questions and plant seeds and ask questions from the Word of God and share the depths of your convictions when these subjects come up to teach them about God. Number three, always tell others your plans. That's a pretty easy one, but it doesn't get done. Men, don't be so busy that your family does not know where you are. Don't just drive off. Let them know where you're going and what your plan is for the day. And then do what you say you'll do. Be where you said you would be. And if your plans change, call home and tell them. And if your plans don't change, call home anyway. Tell them everything's on schedule. Communicate. It's a beautiful thing to do. And it teaches our children, brothers, I want you to get this. If you do that, it teaches our children to do that. Isn't that what we want them to do? We want to know where they're at. We want to know who they're with. We want to know where they're going. We want to know how it's going. Let's set the example for them and teach them. This is a beautiful part of communication, to stay in contact through the day. Let's set the example. Number four, here again, men, learn how to come home. Home is not the place where, after an exhausting, troubled day, that we come home and just release all the frustrations right there at the door and just let down our guards and then expect others to serve us because we've had a hard day. If that's the way we come home, you're not going to win the heart of your child or your wife either.
My wife tells me, she says, you know, if you come home negative and beat up and frustrated and dump it all out at the door, she just says, I tell you, it rubs off on me and on the children and on the whole evening. And it goes beyond the whole evening. It goes right into the hearts of our children. We need to learn how to come home. Our wife and children have had trials and troubles all day too. Sometimes we forget that. I have a little poem here that I would like to read. It's called At the Door. I need to read it more often as we all work together on these things. It goes like this. He wiped his shoes before his door, but ere he entered, he did more. 'Twas not enough to cleanse his feet of dirt they'd gathered in the street. He stood and dusted off his mind and left all trace of the day behind. In here I will not take, said he, the grief this day has brought to me. Beyond this door shall never go the troubles that are mine to know. He dusted off the stains of strife, the mud that always comes in life, the blemishes of worried thought, all traces of the battles fought, all evil that the day had seen. And when he entered, he was clean. It's a prayer for us men. I want to tell you, wives and children can communicate with a man who comes home from work that way. Children can look forward to a daddy like that coming home. And it's so important that the family looks forward to dad coming home. It should stop some operations. Dad's here. We're trying to win their heart. And there's a time to share all the events of the day. I found that my wife and family actually wants to hear all about my day, the good and the bad. I mean, my wife is there to support me in it. But save it for supper time. Save it for family time. Make story time out of it. Bring some lessons from the Word of God into it. Ask the children, what would you have done in this situation? Whoa, those questions just get right into their heart and just reveal it. That leads us to the next point that I'd like to make, number 5. I think it's good to have family time like that. And I'm not really talking about devotions here. I'm just talking about a time when the family sits down and connects. Sometimes it's just a game. Just a little game. It doesn't take long, but play a game together. Something that you can do to laugh together, to enjoy each other. This is not ungodly. This is laying a foundation to communicate. It's connecting with the hearts of your children. Maybe there's a project that you can do together. There's just little things. I was shocked one time. My wife came up with an idea. She had some rocks and she had some paint. She said, let's paint these rocks. And it was nothing but rocks and nothing but paint. That's all it was. And I thought, well, hey, let's just paint some rocks. You know, let's paint faith and let's paint joy. And you can print it whatever size you want and paint it and just however you want. And that turned out to be one of the most enjoyable activities we'd done for a long time. The children loved it. I'm just saying, how much thought are you putting into this thing? Come up with good ideas to make it happen. Sometimes we sit down and we just read a book together. I appreciate what you shared about homeschooling, Brother Mark. Sometimes we connect this time with homeschooling. Sometimes we'll read a history book, and they're always pretty easy reading, but there's a lot of
books in that category that you can, they're good, clean books. They're history. You can learn. You can teach from them. There's lessons in them. And then you can bring out the Word of God and you can say, well, here's what God thinks about this. It's just a golden opportunity. And we're just kind of getting to the place now when we read a book, when the chapter's done, we just try to figure out the lesson that God would teach us from what we just read. And it can be part of homeschooling. It's family time. And this is the time to sit down and just share. And what did you do through the day? And what happened? And this happened to me. And what would you have done? And it's a time to connect. And I just tell you, these things are so crucial. And I'm not standing here because I've done all this right and because I have all the answers. We're just working on these things. Let's work on it together, brothers. I tell you, this is a hard subject to talk on. Because who's qualified to speak? I mean, we can't stand here because we have the qualifications. Everyone who speaks on this subject at least desires to send out some kind of a disclaimer so they have some liberty to speak. But I'm just telling you, we feel a burden from our home for our homes. And so we will speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, not because we are perfect, but because we believe God and because we believe that we have been sent by God to prepare the hearts of our children that God may come and seek a godly seed in our children. It's our calling. It's our high calling. It's our priority. May nothing take it away. I want to encourage some deep conversation with our children. You know, there are some people who feel like there are some subjects that are just off limits to talk about. There are just some things you best just stay off of that subject. I want to tell you this morning, I don't believe that. Anything that's in the heart of your child needs to be accessible. We need to be able to talk about anything. A close relationship is when everything that is in the heart has liberty to come out. That's the relationship that we need with our children, and some of them are private subjects. They're not subjects that are good to just bring out in open discussion. You don't talk about them in front of other people, but sometimes take some time and sit down privately with that child and draw out that heart and tell them it's okay. Give them some direction in those things. I tell you, there's a connection there of hearts that is beautiful, and it just prepares the way for God to come. Nothing held back when God comes. And youth that are here this morning, I want to encourage you. Tell your parents everything. You have a part to play in this. Don't make your folks nosy to find out what's going on in your life. Get approval for the things you do. Tell them where you're going. Get permission. Stay in touch while you're gone. That's communication. Sometimes stay home and don't go. Just enjoy the evening. Offer to come up with a plan. Dad and Mom, what are you doing tonight? I've got an idea. Well, that just thrills my heart when that happens. It's beautiful. Communication goes both ways. Our goal this morning is to raise the burden that we have been sent to win the hearts of our children. Parents, I want to encourage us, build a relationship, lay a foundation to communicate, and then communicate all the way down to a deep level, all the way down to everything that is in the heart. It takes time. It takes quality time. Schedule sacrificial time. It's a full-time job with homework and prayer. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And brothers, I want to tell you, everything that we've said about winning the heart of our children is true in winning the heart of your wife. If dad and mom aren't connected, That does more damage in the heart of the children than you'll ever know until you see it. I want to remind us in closing that this is an area where God answers prayer. This is an area where God moves in our behalf. It was God who sent us. It was God who gave us this job. It was God who gave us these children. They're precious in His sight. And He is going to seek a godly seed in every one of our children. He will not pass one by. And I want to challenge us. Let's not pass one by either. May God encourage us in our homes. Is the job getting done? Are we rising up? Is it our priority? Are we being faithful? I want to close with a prayer. You know, sometimes when we're sending a missionary to the mission field, we have them come forward and we pray over them to send them into the mission field. And fathers and mothers here today, I want to close with a sending prayer. You have been sent by God to prepare the way before Jesus Christ, that when He comes and stirs in the hearts of our children, they will receive Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time together. Thank You, Father, that You put me back in the Word in this subject to remind me of my own great need. Father, but we have been sent. You have given power and authority, Father. We ask that You would, as it were, lay Your hands upon us, Father, who are sent to our children. I pray, Father, that You would answer the prayers of the fathers in this place. I pray that You would unite the hearts of the husbands and wives, the mothers and fathers in this place, to give a united signal and message to their children. I pray that You would soften the hearts of the children, Father, to not turn away from the ones that You have sent to prepare their hearts, lest they turn away from You also. Father, we pray that You would soften our hearts and raise our level of burden and knowledge, that You would come alongside, Father, and save our children and sanctify our children. Separate us, Father, from this world around us. I pray, Father, like Jesus said, the world hates me because I testify of it that the deeds thereof are evil. The world cannot hate You, oh God. Give us the mind of Christ, that we would protect our homes and guide our children and sanctify them, Father, so that they could have the mind of Christ and walk through their life with a single eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, that You would just put a vision in the hearts of every married couple here, that God has brought us together that He might seek a godly seed in our children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.